Welcome to the SALT Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through a three-pack of really short books of the Bible, all the way at the almost to the very end of the end of the Bible. Right? We're doing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John over 3 weeks.
Right.
And they don't each get equal time.
No, well, they don't, right? Because 1st John has 5 chapters, so they're going to get the majority of time. Yeah, so we're going to be in 1st John chapters 2, let's not even call it 2, 3 and 4 today.
3 and 4.
Yeah,
just a couple sort of verses. The end of chapter 2. Yeah. Because in 1st John, some of the chapter divisions just don't make sense.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and they were added later, right?
It's
not like they came as part of the letter.
So. Yeah, so we're picking up at the end of chapter 2, but we're doing mostly, basically chapters 3 and 4 this week.
Yeah, so to back up a little bit with 1 John that we started, we found that 1 John is similar to the Gospel of John. It's a message for Christians to stand firm in our faith and to carry the good news forward.
Yeah.
And the good news is Christ.
Yeah. The key word is really abide in Christ. And that comes right out of John chapter 15, the Gospel of John.
Right.
And we're really going to see that hit home here in this week.
Okay.
The center section of 1 John is just... That really is what drives it, and it helps with a lot of misinterpretation, actually.
Okay. So last week we saw things like God is light, so we must walk in the light. We need to keep his commandments. And then there was also warnings about false teachers. So we pick up this week. John says that Christians should have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, and we need to know that. So when Jesus returns, we can have confidence in him and not fear. So everyone who practices righteousness has been fathered by God, by Jesus.
And this is actually something that, honestly, should be taught more often. You know, when we think about Jesus coming back, you know, there's joy and there's celebration, there's all the good stuff. But at least twice in this letter, because it's really a short letter, this book, he's going to talk about being ashamed when Jesus comes. It's like, I don't want to think about that.
Right.
But, you know, we think about rewards and all this stuff. There will be a lot of Christians who don't abide in Christ, who don't live out what John says. And remember, John is presenting the ideal Christian life. So he's like, listen, some of you, Jesus is going to come back and you're going to be standing there with your tail between your legs because there's nothing to show for your life because you didn't abide. You didn't.
Right. So you have salvation, which is great, but no rewards, nothing.
Yeah. It's not a salvation book. This is written to people who are already saved, and that's not going to change. They can't lose that. But they're still going to be ashamed when Jesus came when Jesus comes because they didn't do anything with their lives.
Right.
They didn't do what, you know,
from a Christian point of view.
Yeah, they didn't become what he wants us to become.
Yeah. Well, kind of leads into where John even goes next. He says the world doesn't know Christians because the world didn't know him.
Yeah.
And that him is Jesus.
Yeah.
And certainly John hit that in the Gospel of John too, and he's bringing it back up here.
Yeah.
And then he also says some bold things. Everyone who resides in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has neither seen him or knows or known him. I mean, we saw in John, we saw in John. But when we do sin, so we know John knows that we have a sinful nature.
Yeah.
But what's he talking about here?
Yes, this is one of those areas. And so the NET translation that we're using here says resides. That's what I'm talking about as abides. So it's the same word there. This is one of those places where when we look at the original language, it really does actually help because it says that, verses 8 and 9 and 10 and everything, everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin or does not sin because God's seed resides in him. And it says, thus he is not able to sin because he's been fathered by God. But it's talking about God's seed is residing in us. So we have a new nature when we get saved. When we are saved, God comes, lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, and we have a new nature. That new nature is not able to sin. because it's God's nature in us, right?
Right.
The Holy Spirit will never lead us to sin. So if we are abiding in Christ, because it says if he resides in him, everyone who's not residing, whoever is residing, abiding, if we are abiding in Christ, if we are living in Christ, submitting to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to sin because we're living out our new nature. But if we're not, if we're abiding in our old nature, if we're living out our old nature, of course we're going to sin.
Right.
So that's why I say that abiding is the key here to misinterpretation.
Because that's a tough verse,
yeah.
Right? If you sin, you don't have God in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you as a new Christian, you read that and you're like, I don't have God in me, but yet people are telling me I have God in me. And,
right. Yeah. It's an interpretation that comes from a wrong position, comes from a position of, you know, either you can lose your salvation or you weren't really saved to begin with. And John never questions that. But the whole thing ties it. If you're abiding, then this is what it will look like. If you're not abiding, then you really don't know God. Because if you really knew God, you can't look at him and say, well, I'm going to go do this anyway.
Right.
Right. So there's this is why we say around here to know him better and love him more, right? Because if we really know him, then we're going to want to stay as close to him as possible. And if we're not walking with him, if we're living any way we want, then it's proving, okay, you're a Christian, you're saved, but you really don't know God very well, do you? Because if you did.
Yeah, you wouldn't be doing that.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so the second half of chapter 3 is almost opposite, where this first half, there was some really strong statements. The second half, John takes a position of, we need to love our fellow Christians, which around here, if we're using the path, we'd say that's brotherly affection.
Mm-hmm.
Says things like, do not be surprised if the world hates us. We already hit that. We know that we will have life in Christ, but the world doesn't. And John says, Jesus laid his life down for us, so we as Christians should be ready to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians.
Yeah.
And this is more than just words, right? Yeah. There needs to be some physical help with each other. We need to be doing deeds that shows our loves. And if our conscience condemns us, we should be doing more.
Yeah, yeah. This is a really good time to bring out the Jewish concept or the ancient concept of love and hate. It's another one of those contrasts, right? So when we read love and hate, John's not really thinking about the emotion side of things. Oh, I love you. Oh, I hate you. You know, type thing. He's really talking about there's really more of a Jewish concept. The Hebrew word shalom. A lot of people think it just means peace. It's far more than that. It's the idea of one's welfare, one's benefit. Right. So when we love someone, it's choosing their welfare, choosing their benefit as a priority at this time. So it's an active choice to help them or to prioritize them.
Okay.
To hate then doesn't necessarily mean it's not anger hate necessarily,
emotion.
Whatever. Yeah. It's I'm not prioritizing you. I'm not choosing you. I'm choosing myself over you or someone else, you know, that type of thing. So when Paul says in Philippians 2, have this mind or have this attitude that Jesus had of looking out for someone else's interests at this time, that's what's really going on here. So when he's talking about the sin and the righteousness and that sort of thing, it really comes down to how are we living out brotherly affection? How are we living out our love for one another and building up one another? Yeah.
All right. Good. John again asks us to test the spirits to determine if they are from God. We saw a similar test last week. We can use the same test for Antichrist too. And yep. If the spirit or Antichrist confesses that Jesus is the Christ who has come in the flesh from God, then they are trustworthy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're false teachers.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see the same thing actually in 2 John as even a litmus test for fellowship. Right? You can't have Christian fellowship with someone who's not a Christian.
Right.
You can be friends, you can do all sorts of things, but you can't have Christian fellowship. And you certainly don't give someone a platform, in a church or something if they are promoting a false gospel or a false doctrine. Yeah.
John ends this the reading for this week saying that we need to love each other because God loves us and love is from God.
Yeah.
And then the person that does not love does not know God.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great example of there of God's love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And we see that in various ways in the scriptures too.
Yep.
We also know God loves us because of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. And if anybody confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God resides in him.
Yeah.
And in God. And because of this, we can have confidence again.
Yep.
On the day of judgment.
Yep.
And there's no fear in love, which is I've never thought about that before. That's a great statement. There's
yeah.
no fear in love.
Yeah.
And we love God because he loved us first.
Yeah.
And then he ends with a new commandment. The one who loves God should love his fellow Christian too.
Yeah.
And again, brotherly affection all over this.
That's that whole middle section here of the letter. I love that concept where one of the ways that we know that God loves us, because that's a question sometimes.
Yeah.
Does God love me? Does God right. you know care about me? Whatever. One of the ways that we know that God loves us is because he gave us the Holy Spirit, right? If God didn't love us, if he did, and it, again, thinking of love as benefit and welfare and what, if God didn't love us, if God didn't care about us at all, why would he want to be with us? Why would we have his Spirit? The fact that his Spirit is with us is demonstrable proof that God says, I really do love you. I really do care about you. Here's my Spirit.
Nice.
That's very cool.
That is.
That's really
cool. That's very cool. Great place to end, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Man, we are just blowing through this book. We're 80% of the way through the book now. And chapter 5, and next week we'll do chapter 5 and 2nd and 3rd John. But this week. Yeah, all three of them. I don't know. This week, again, like we said last week, read it slowly, really take thought of what's going on here. John is presenting the ideal for the Christian life, and that's not something that happens fast, right? So take your time. If you have questions or comments, please send those in. We'd love to hear those. And subscribe and follow and share this with other people that you think may find this helpful as well. And we will see you next time as we finish up this three-pack of John's letters.